Welcome everybody. Can you hear me? My name is Amy. I'm a Seattle agreement. And thanks everybody for putting up with my silence today. I learned yesterday that I only have so many minutes of voice, so it's been a humbling experience. Anyway, if we could open up with a serenity prayer. God, I just want to be honest. For those of you who are just in this room with Joanne a few minutes ago, she's just been a great inspiration to me, and I hate following her. But it's truly a lesson in humility. I've had some not talking, which my prayer this week was that I also have a power, because I always feel like I have to be on to be enough, that I just do and practice that, and it's been pretty damn uncomfortable. And to not be able to speak and hold my weight or own my cheek has just been very enlightening. And so it was kind of one of those things that really funny, God. But grateful to be here. My topic is good enough for today, living in the middle, which is kind of an offshoot of what we just heard about with perfectionism, because the two are pretty much intertwined. I need to ask people, though, before we start that, if you haven't gotten tickets for the basket, that they're out in front, and so please pick them up because everybody gets one ticket. Also, I think there's still one meal left, and I could be wrong about that. No more meals? No more meals, okay. None? It's a banquet. Some people weren't able to come, and so I couldn't attend tonight, so there were some free tickets, but I think they've all been taken. So. Today I am gratefully recovering cirrhotic and bulimic, and I'm privileged to be sharing in this program. And I want to clarify that it's funny, I go to different conventions, and then sometimes I know a lot of people, and sometimes I don't know a lot of people. And so for those who don't know me, I came into program in 1980. A bona fide bulimic, when there weren't very many bulimics prominent, and so that just allowed that terminal uniqueness to fester and to flourish. It was the gray, green, and orange and purple fruit, which is a very restrictive food plan, and coming from other bulimics being very restricted, that didn't work for me either. So I really struggled to find a food plan, and this topic of being good enough just really fit into that. The history that kind of builds that, or where I came from, is I'm an immigrant from the Netherlands, came over when I was 5, and my parents came from Indonesia, and there was a lot of stuff left over from that trip to Holland to heal, a lot of brokenness, a lot of woundedness, and I think I felt the effects of that. That was the best that they could do. My mom was bipolar as well, and that escalated with the circumstances. We moved to New Hampshire. There weren't a lot of facilities or tools to help her, and so she became victimized by that, and how she showed up in my life as a result. I found out at 35 that she was doing it too. I mean, I was 35, and for 9 years in recovery before I put that together, and by the grace of God, have not generationally passed that on to my daughter, which is total testament to this program. And when we came to America, the woundedness she brought, the bipolar, my dad was a doctor, never available, and I became an adult at about 6 and a half. And had 3 brothers, and sometimes they still have called me mom. It's just kind of interesting how those were. And so, and in that process, I lost myself. I never had myself to lose. There just never was. And so this topic is just very fitting because all my life I've tried to make up for the lack within. I was supposed to talk about something else, and then that got all screwed up, and then it was like, okay, I guess this topic is what was meant for me. So the topic didn't match it today, living in the middle ground. Attempting to reach a good enough status felt like perfection. I came into LA totally beaten down by the food disorder. I need to back up one thing. When I was very young, my mom tried to commit suicide 5 times. And so in that place, I had no room for being selfish, but taking care of myself, because God always commanded the attention. And so in that feeling selfish, which I, taking care of myself translated into selfish, which is a really bad thing. And so in that way, making up for that has been part of this process. And another key figure that I didn't find out in about 20 years in recovery is that I was caught between two abortions. And the reason was, so the first one, my dad got TB and was in a sanitarium, so there was nobody to take care of the child, and then there was one after me because they just couldn't cope. And I don't think I would have believed in this stuff, but I've always felt like I was kept, so I should be grateful. Mm-hmm. And if you're grateful, you have no needs. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just interesting, the more we learn, the more we don't know, and how it all fits in, but it's kind of an amazing process. And I'm really grateful. My disease is not about leaving, you know, and quitting. And so to have stayed around long enough to get insights has just been really an amazing thing. So I came in beaten down by the food, and I felt like many other bulimics that I've heard too, just disgusting, revolting. You know, I was thin and people said I looked so healthy, and I felt so damn bad, you know, because they didn't know the other side of it. And back then too, since a bulimia hadn't come out yet, I just felt like I had a corner on that market. Well, I'm so grateful to say that I don't have a corner on the market. So thanks everybody for showing up. But I did not know that for an awful long time. And also in that process, the training came, I was the first one to come out at one of the colleges I came. And they put me on epileptic medicine for the bulimia. And they were trying to increase the levels of the medication. And so the byproduct of that was falling asleep inappropriately. I was in a workshop program at that point, and it was not cool with the legs, or with the joiners, or all that kind of stuff. And so that added secondary pain, which, for whatever reason, I wanted to share that. So as I came in, broken down by the food disorder, in retrospect, I realized over time that I came because of a life disorder. Some of it was attached to my family's origin, my perceptions, my previous position, and this hypersensitivity to the world, you know, that I've always felt embarrassed about. In the last few years, realized that when people have this hypersensitivity, those are the artists, those are the creative people. But somehow that just never translated or came down to me. Early on, as I mentioned, I got the message it took to, and I took it to be my belief that when I try to get my needs met, somehow this is a bad thing. This crippled me emotionally, and I couldn't, as a result of that, identify my needs, acknowledge them, speak up for them, or meet them. So I just went needless, you know. It started me down a path of distortion, and I tried to meet this by having the perfect body, because I had nothing else going on, so I might as well just be thin and look appropriate. And this thread and bread of dishonesty that fit me like a glove and fit totally and perfectly in with my bulimic existence. And then when I came to the program, I just really respected the people that put on weight. And I still do today the courage to show up with what, you know, how one is hurting or what we're covering up. I just had that, I came in here and I could see people looking at me like, you're thin, because I haven't had a lot of weight to lose. And yet they didn't know how I was going inside and how distorted and how, you know, when I was purging, it had gotten to the point where everything was messed up inside, so my thinking, my ability to show up, my energy. Then, you know, the one of the few things at the time that I got comfort from was the sun. But the electrolytes were messed up, but I was like blocked until here, and then it went. You know, the hair was falling out, the breath, and my skin was getting black. You were also sick, but I was thin. And I heard since then that everybody who comes in, not everybody, but people who come in recovery, skin is the answer. And in retrospect too, that is a gift, because I can never do the one disease. When I got thin, I knew I was messed up, you know, and so I'm grateful. Let me see. I got here because of all this sick behavior that I had to overcompensate. I had to do so to accomplish more in order to fit in or earn my spot. I tried to accomplish more to make up and cover up. To make restitutions of my motives and disappointment in myself, I was dishonest with all of you, and that just ate at my spirit. I was just so sad about that. It did go work for a long time, but I didn't realize until I've been working my program what heavy a price I paid. Also, as a blamer, it's my nature to overdo, and I am also carry so much guilt. My secret is that you saw it in person, and that was desirable. Meanwhile, I was enjoying the binging and the purging, and I came in the program saying I wanted abstinence, but then I went out and stopped them and used to take with the big book in one hand and the phone in the other. So you don't eat? And I thought, how's that gonna help? You know? I'd already stopped using utensils, so what the heck? And I enjoyed it. It was the only seconds of relief, because I had no skill of how to feel relief in any other way. I was a walking lie and a contradiction, rather than shame. Coming in program already feeling like I was doing that wrong because I wanted to keep eating, I just wanted to stop hurting. And you guys said I had to do all this stuff, but I really didn't want to give up what I was doing. I was just felt like I forced you because I was dying. And I really think that I didn't have a lot of time left because things were starting to shut down. It was really difficult finding a food plan in this program as a bulimic. It was all the mention to defeat. You know, I couldn't exist anymore. I've been doing that all my life. I was also doing laxatives. I was also drinking, I hope this was single. And I was working out 3 times a day. And so I was wondering why I didn't have a life. I also felt so unique in here, and I felt like a failure. When I was looking for the food, and I really share this with people nowadays, finding something that works for me was so hard. Because I wanted to be a good girl, and I wanted to do it right, and I felt so lousy that if I didn't have your approval, then I, you know, what did I have? And yet, what happened was, I found a food plan that I could stick with. And I feel like people nowadays, because my idea of blame is that if my thought is if I was purging 10 times a day with cleaning purges on the side, if I purged 10 times a day, I started having to look at that as a success today. Because I could purge 11 times, 12 times, 13 times, I mean, there's no end to this disease. What I believe today works for me, and I practice this many times in my life, that if I accept where I am as ineffective and disabled in whatever area of my life, then it creates the basis that my higher power can do some healing. If I say, screw this, this is not good enough, then we have nothing to work with. But I didn't know that early on, and so I share that today, that is such a kinder way than the way I did that. I came up with 2 last supper. And I did that with 3 huge meals that fit on no sheet. But I had to keep it in. That was my response. And for people that aren't doing that, they don't eventually gather what a big deal that is. And I used to miss talking about that. Nobody talked about how hard it was to keep the food in and for me that and how hard not to do last year to get the food out. I mean, that's all I thought about. Really sick. Really sick. So I kept going for the food plan. It took me 9 or 10 months, because I love getting better. Sometimes I get better about that. 9 or 10 months to get my food plan, and they said keep coming. And I really had thought that I wasn't going to get it. I thought I'd made the decision or the evaluation that I wasn't going to make it. And I felt so sad to this little girl in me at the time that I thought, well, at least my family's going to know that I tried. When I die in this program, somebody's going to say she went to these gym meetings. It obviously didn't work because she died, but they would have known I gave my best. Because oftentimes in the dream, yeah, it looks like you don't try. You know, you just keep doing just stuff with your own behavior, you know? And so that came. And so that I had resolved myself to have to stop. It's going to be as good as it got. But I did keep taking the food, and finally I was given acceptance from somewhere that my food was good enough, and that was a real turning point for me. I also got my options after one of these conventions. I used to binge and purge out of control after these some fancy things. I got so much damn strokes and stuff, I didn't know what the hell to do with it. And I just had to go back and just kind of equalize there. And also, because I have said, but not enough. I never did anything right enough, you know. Not until I honored the gift of my offspring did it work for me. And not until that did the healing start, you know. And I think that I feel a lot of times people coming to me that the healing starts right away, but when I was messed up in the food, there was no room for it. And you guys just love me, because I don't know, I don't feel they crying like I did. I cried for 2 years, and it was noticeable, and it was still, and I shared that way back then. And I thought I was never going to stop. You guys helped me to be good enough in different arenas. Once I got abstinent, I thought I would feel happy, joyous, and sweet because of that. It sucked. It was awful. The line that somebody said about if I'd known in Virginia, I was going to go on, I don't know if I would have bought the ticket. It was so, so true for me. And it was all over my being. People just would walk by and just, you know, give a breath. And I apologize for all the people now. How am I feeling? So this is where not feeling enough. How am I feeling passes is in uncovering my belief system. And Jenny shared a lot about this. This is a really nice for me to follow that. And these belief systems misguided me for years. And they drove me to do more, and more and more. I always had to go beyond because of my dishonest lifestyle. Being a bulimic, I stole, I lied, I cheated, and was unable to face or reconcile that part of me. I had decided on some level because I couldn't fix everything in a chaotic home that I was defective. And I didn't know that, but I believed that on a deep level. But I was also an asset, not enough, dirty, because of any accident, and in truth. You know, and I was unacceptable. I was coming from that place, and not until years in heaven, I think it was Dan who was really instrumental to help me feel things. And that's why I'm so glad I stuck around. There's layers and layers and layers, and a lot of my actions and how I show up to the world is because of layers and layers below. So if I was still around, I was never more. I was so angry. I was so angry and I was so frightened by it, my anger, that I overcompensate by being nice. Well, everybody liked me and that pissed me off even more because I felt like such a deception again, you know? I needed you guys to care about me, but I also said this stuff later, and that's why this disease is so complicated. You know, it isn't just about the food. It's about, I got a couple issues here. And the anger was so bad there. About 2 years in the program, and I shared this because I hadn't seen that before. I had a mental ward with my age, and for 7 weeks, and I had those situations where people held me down. 8 people at one point. I was like, whoa, I am really pissed. And wow, this is like a movie. And whoa, I'm really pissed. And they helped, I'm so glad that I was hurt, and because of that outside resources. Our values, you know, and that God gave them to us to use. So you guys couldn't help me with some of my real sick stuff. I never learned how to understand, how to endure making a mistake. I did buy into if I make a mistake, I own a mistake. I believe that to the core. I was a common enjoy the repercussions of making a mistake, and especially if it disappointed somebody. It was like I stopped thinking. So once some of these had gotten uncovered, then I could do the step time on powers over feeling this way. Do I believe God's going to change me? Yes, I will make a decision and start writing. I also had, this is like a recent thing I've learned that I've tried to change for my humanness. Instead of looking at my being a unique, precious child of God, I just felt like, I'm so sorry, you know, I was unable to celebrate the gift, because I felt like that I brought to the world, because that was costly, and I was unable to handle the shortcomings, because that was always defective. And so, I had an analogy that came to mind, and I use a lot of pictures and words to remember stuff. That's another thing. I can't remember diddly. My disease is one of amnesia, too. I need to hear it over and over and over again. It was that we were doing a puzzle at home, and all the different pieces. And I thought, if I was that blue piece, my name says, I'd want to be you, so you've got yellow piece. But if I was that yellow piece, there would be two yellow pieces. Maybe a hole where my blue piece was supposed to go. And it just kind of helped me hold on more to, I need to be my authentic blue piece and honor your yellow piece. The obstacles, and this is shared before about not enough too, is if I only make the standard of perfect, of perfection as acceptable, then I get back into a corner. And it allows me not to do anything at all. And I love a good reason to not do anything not to move. Like, I have another issue with that, you know, just the immobility. I just don't want to change. And then failure leads to fear failing again. I find myself afraid to fail, so then I get frustrated, then I put off, then I get apathetic, and then I get immobilized, and then I don't do anything. And the binging and purging was the only thing for a long time that broke that cycle. So when this program asked me to give that up, it was like, what the hell, I don't know how to do life without it. All these were undermined by my inability to nourish and replenish that empty void in my soul. The binging and purging dealt with that when I was abstinent, I had to be more than enough to be acceptable. I like when people tell me what they do, how they feed themselves. Because when those normies out there, those jokers, would say, well, do something else. Nothing satiated a part of my being like my disease. And that's why today, when there's a part of me that wants to become invisible. There are a lot of people here that have done over 30 years, and I don't have a role model. And I don't want to claim that I know anything, especially today I'm absent. You know, everything goes back to I can return back to this moment. I am still that sick person, but I am in grace today, not tears. And I'm part of a fellowship, so it's harder for me to isolate. But it's so frightening. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that I remember my lessons. I remember it real clearly. And I remember I liked it on one hand, and thought I'm never going to get out on the other hand. In my recovery, I've also struggled with being enough in this program. Because of my longevity, and I choose that word over old time, struggling with being enough with my food. You know, when people go 3 meals with nothing in between to help me God, but low calorie, Mrs. Lake got blend into us, it didn't work after my first 2 years. I had to be having real rigid food plan, but I wanted a life that my food, I wanted to eat to thrive, so that I could start for life. I didn't want to have my food be so black and white so I could wear a pen, not bread and 3 meals, nothing in between for healthy Jesus. You know, I didn't want that. I hope, and I said this last night, that if it ever got to that bad, I'd be turned to that. If I went back out, I don't know if I have any other recovery in me, but I hope that I would be willing to get to a stringent food plan if that is what it was, what I needed to. My food today is some days I eat 2 meals, some days I eat 6 meals. I don't eat sugar, I don't do laxatives, I don't drink, I don't over exercise, and I ask God to feed me with my food. And because the cool thing about practicing this way of life is that the food I want, even if it's in a large amount, is stuff that is good for me. You know, I don't want anything synthetic anymore. And every time after Thanksgiving, after when my family goes to a coffee shop and everybody has those round things that float, wherever, I'm so grateful that I don't have that feeling of ugh. You know, and so the first 10 years in recovery, I used to cry when people would eat and I'd think, funny. And now, I just turned 60 and I look around at my friends and I think, I'm not on medication like a lot of them are. I just go run. Well, somewhere. You know, and I am on private road medication. I don't want to clear that up, but a lot of people are going on a lot of other stuff. I'm not debilitated, I'm just because of this. So now I feel like I'm the winner instead of the loser. But I drug myself too. I didn't tell anybody I was your sponsor for 20 years. And I said, if I'm your sponsor, don't tell me. because I was afraid that I was supposed to know something. And God knows if I wake up and don't go out in public naked, you know, we're doing all right that day. And so I asked my higher power to use me as a vessel and a conduit. And last time I don't remember what I say, but people seem to get something from it. You know, like I appreciate. But that's not my goal. My goal is just to be a service. So I always get really intimidated, like people who know in literature know what page, what is on, or what paragraph, and I want to be like them when I grow up. I extend my hand and my body way too much or not enough. I just never know, and I ask God to protect me from myself. We're working in a morning step study, and I always feel not enough. You know, I can't answer the dumb questions right, and I'm reading, and I don't out, and blah, 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 and then I feel like a storm. And this is how my head works all the time. This is how my disease gets into my being. It never says any of them take you out and make you feel that bad. No, it says, you don't need this, or you don't do good enough, or you've been watching your eyes still. Why don't you just do everybody favor? And I fight that every day, in all different ways. I try to turn that over to God and say, I'm powerless over that negative thinking, thinking something, and show up anyway. But that hasn't gone away. And the other thing, I like the phone. I can be on the phone 24 hours. The thing is that when you're on telephone is only there, and you know a lot of people. And so I never know what reasonableness is on the phone. So that's why, you know, I wake up and by 2 o'clock, I'm not dressed because I'm still working. You know, and so judging, is this enough? I need to be available. How did I feel when I first came in with somebody to pick up the phone? How did I get? So I make myself so available. And then I do a disservice to other people and myself. So I struggle with that. I want to say that I constantly practice that it's not my job to judge any part of my program as I see it or as other people see it. And I try to live by that, but it doesn't come natural. So I have to keep that in mind. Today I've learned that practice makes progress, not perfect. That's been a good one for me. When I try to seek perfection, it indicates my need to look at my character defects as past pride, manifesting and saving face. And that is a real subtle small thing. When I'm trying to save face and look good, and I was thinking about that when I was sitting here with the previous song, I thought, my eyes had gone first. You know, because I don't, they're not doing a good enough job. I'm forgetting that my higher power is letting everybody hear what they need to hear or not hear. You know, it's none of my business. Understanding that my job, after turning it over, is to accept as enough of what is. Silence is very elusive to me. I wait so daily for contentment, doing small things in service to my higher power, and that that is enough. In all, I've learned that my job is to set goals, to aspire towards them, but be satisfied just by trying. Today, I'm deeply grateful for how my higher power has continued to give me strength to keep on keeping on in this area of enough as well. Through working the program and through prayer, I've become better at seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly in me, weathering humility and claiming self-respect in spite of that. And so I'm grateful for that. I don't know what time it is now. Yeah, 15 minutes. I was hoping we could open up the sermon since perfection and the not enough is so closely related. We didn't have time to share in the last one. I'd like to open it up. And for people who are here, since my beliefs were a surprise to me, I'd like to ask you to think about what are some of the beliefs that stand in your way of being enough? In your food, in how you look your stuff, in showing up, in how long you've been here, in asking for what you need. What beliefs stand in your way of leaving? Yeah, I know. And so with that, I'll open it up. Is it my meeting? Yes. And thanks to everybody honoring me trying to have a voice for this. I appreciate it.
I'm really grateful for covering compost for readers. And this just tickles me to death. God gave me, or my higher power gave me, this sort of thing several years ago, and some of you may have seen it or not, but it says, enough. I have enough. I have eaten enough. I have done enough. I am enough. And so you sort of feel like, oh, that is perfect. So I have one for you. And I have enough for everybody in here. So as soon as we're done, if you want to come see me, I'll give you one. And I almost everything you said, I relate to you. I feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like I'm making progress by choosing to trust God instead of trusting my head. So, thank you.
I don't think I need this to you. I'm not done with the computer. Thank you so much. It's so nice to see you. I love that, one of the things I really, really love about the program is how people's experience can be totally different, but yet the feelings are totally the same. I don't have any of that experience, but I have every single feeling that you, and I've always felt that kindred, like the, because I would eat the numb out, like I would eat, I just never got the other part of it because I liked that numb, like I loved that debate feeling. So I was just the, you know, middle of the night binger that, and there was never enough food to help me go to sleep. It was so sad, you know, and then I heard somebody say at a meeting one time, like, I don't know how I was 100 pounds overweight, I only ate one meal, but it started at 10 at night and ended at 4 in the morning. And that's the person who ended up being my sponsor, and that's because I'm a 100-pounder. I can eat. Do you know what I mean? And I'm nobody special, and I'm nobody different. But I can, I mean, but I am somebody who can gain 75 pounds in 4 months, which is what I did 20 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's just all that. It's just such a dramatic, like, when you solve it, overeat it, or throw it up. It's all, to me, it's just all the same. And living in the middle ground, I came to this, I've been doing this really interesting thing, like all the things that I would normally not go to, like arts and crafts, for example. I was crafty in the last session, and usually I go like, I care, whatever, I'm not going, I'm like, wow, how do you care? You know, look, I had a picture. No, I went and made a vision board. It was so awesome. It was so, because I'm doing things that, that I would never, like, I'm just leaning into things that I would usually just judge, or even that I do judge and then go anyway. Does that make any sense? And then last thing I'll say is, I just got back, or not just got back, it was 2 weeks ago, but, I was the keynote speaker at the Region 1 convention of our fellowship, and the amount, like, and I'm going to have a 20-year birthday coming up in a couple weeks, and the fact that self-sabotage that I still, because I almost, if somebody from my home meeting, because I kept saying, like, I think I need somebody to go with me, because I will just shoot myself, and I will sabotage myself coming and going, is what I'm saying, and I almost missed my flight, okay, because I just was, you know, it's that stuff that we do, like, it's 20 years later, it's 100 pounds later, and I laid awake the night before going, why did they ask me to do that? And it's so sad, you know? And that, it's so completely interesting to me that, you know, so is this just not enough? Or the not enough? And I remember when I think I'm going to do it, you know, it's like that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't, you know, why did they ask me to do this? And you know, I got to tell you, I walked away from this experience, like I was able to get over it, and I'm so glad I made my claim, you know, and then just to be able to share my, and then to get there and go, like, oh, okay, it's another room full of people that are mad at what I'm saying. You know, it's nothing different, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the same, you know, and I could stand there and say, like, it was a miracle that I did not sabotage myself out of getting here, you know? And so I had an amazing experience, and I'm now talking to a 16-year-old kid who's 100 pounds overweight, who lives in some city in Canada that I can't pronounce. But see, that's what it's about, right? Like, he identified with me, and he calls, and you know, and it's just a loving, but putting the boundaries around the phone calls, like, it's important to know, like, I can't give somebody here everything, and we do need other help, you know, because I've had to call, I've had work for this kid, and I've talked to his mom, because this kid needs some help. He needs some other help, you know, and it's just nice to know that we have to be able to have boundaries around. You know, my sponsor and I are never on the phone for more than 5 minutes, you know, and if we are, she tells me to write about it and tell her about it. Like, we're human beings with lives and you know, we have to be able to have, like, a phone call has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, I can be the person that inspires you, I can be the person who helps you, but I do exactly my experience is phone calls are 5 minutes long. You know, that's my experience, and that's how I can talk to, you know, sometimes I talk to 5-6 people a day, and I don't feel taxed, because, you know, I have boundaries around that, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for it, Nisha. I'm going to be scared. I have a microphone. I'm Mimi. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was just thinking about your show. So helpful. And the question that you asked, what are some beliefs that stand in my way of believing that I am enough? And having an alcoholic father growing up who sucked up all the air out of the room, and everybody in his family always talked about him and his siblings all being geniuses. I was never smart enough, and it's interesting, so I've had the same job for almost 21 years, and my boss still gets up in my grill about something that he did this past week, and I still go to the place of, like, I'm not smart enough, and I want to say out loud, like, I am smart enough, but I would have to say it a lot of different times in order to believe that, so that's one thing that stands in my way, and then the other, like, on a more deep level, is, you know, from the very beginning, I mean, I do, as much as I'm sad to hear that other people share the pain that I have, I'm so grateful that other people do share it, because I could not get better if everybody came in here and said how great their life was, and that they weren't struggling with, you know, feeling not enough or not good enough, or that something wasn't primary, something that went on. And for me, you know, I was adopted, and, like, from that moment, like, that disconnect from my birth mother on, there was something that nobody would tell me that was wrong with me. So I tried my whole life to figure out what it was. And I just thought that there was even when I came into program and I didn't get abstinent right away, I thought that I was constitutionally incapable. I was like, oh, I'm the exception, which really wasn't true. But I thought that nobody would tell me what's wrong with me. Why won't someone just tell me, like, why these guys don't want to date me, or why I can't lose weight, or why I'm depressed all the time, or why I'm so screwed up, and, you know, I'm not all of those things. I mean, I have issues, I have, you know, wounds and everything, but I'm not a mistake. And I realized, and somebody in this room helped me with this very much, is, like, you know, before I was actually created, you know, in the womb, I was somewhere else first, and I was related with my higher power. And so that, in that place, I was wanted, and I was enough, and I was okay, and I, you know, had self-worth and self-value and everything. So that's just some of the stuff that I've learned, but I'm going to do some more writing, because that's a really great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really compulsive eater and I explain it. And I haven't heard the sequence, so I guess I'm not sure. Thank you. I totally related to your story. In so many ways, I'm not good enough. I mean, you know, I remember that 3 minutes ago, nothing in between. I kept going to my sponsor, I can't do that. And I felt like a failure, because I always have to find a way that I feel like a failure. And she goes, talk about it. Speak it. And it's like, I need a cup of snacks in there, because if I get too hungry, then I'm an insane person. And, like, I know if I go too long, like, 5 hours, then I want to, I eat before I even think. You know, and I often go, wait, how much do I just eat? So I had this girl that I do 3 meals a day and a cup of snacks in the pan. I felt like shame, because I'm like, I'm different. And that's, I guess the gift is that we all do it differently, and no one told me how I have to do it. I felt like that, but people were so grateful. And the whole, I'm not good enough, the fear of failure, decision making, and being accepted on all my belief systems that are wrong. And I just did step one with that. And basically, it's just like, I'm a belief system. And I'm afraid to make decisions. because it won't be the right one. My husband, he's talking with me. It's like, we'll see something, and we'll go, it's not the right one, and maybe we could get a better price, and we should go to another store. And he's just like, oh my God, like he goes out and buys. And I'm like, meaning, still tell you. I mean, you know, because it won't be right. So, I just appreciate, I'm hearing people in the room just relating to I'm not good enough, and I'm like, I'm not alone. Oh my God, other people feel this way, because I, as a kid, that I was the only one who felt that way. I never felt good at anything. And so therefore, you don't do it, because then you're not good. And so I'm trying to practice. The class didn't catch me up, because I had a therapist who said, did you do it imperfectly? Did you have a flaw in it, so it's just yours? And I'm like, oh my God, I had a lot of flaws. So, thank you, because I just totally agree to what you said, and I do believe, like, the topic right before was so, like, intertwined. So I just appreciate being here. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a compulsive eater, and I used to be bulimic, and I kind of transformed into a paranoid compulsive eater. And that's hard, because as a former bulimic, I was extremely perfectionistic, and that's so much of it that's that. And so to carry excess weight is something that's very humbling, and probably good for me in the long run. And I'm working on that. And for me, kind of the bottom line is that I think I have to be perfect because I don't believe there's a God that loves me as I am. And so if there's no God, then I have to find a God. And maybe it's you guys, or maybe it's the group, or maybe it's something that is going to be fallible and eventually does judge me. Because people do, you know, and so I've had to replace that with, I'm exactly where I need to be, and I'm good enough just the way I am, and there's a God that loves me just the way I am, and if nobody else does, or likes or accepts me, or thinks that I'm good enough, that's about them, and it's not about me. And that it's more, you know, I had to start with that faith in God because everybody and everything else let me down. And so, it was. And so, you know, I'm starting new foundations on that. And kind of forgive those disappointments of not living up and being imperfect and in my own eyes, especially. You know, I'm such a people pleaser. I always want to please other people and get approval and do it the right way and be the good girl. And I'm finding out that's determined by God and God alone. You know, and it's not for me or anyone else to tell me what that is. I mean, I take it to God. I have to, because and the principles are, I think, of your solid foundation. And part of my imperfect actions, I thought I would have probably just pin for, you know, most imperfect actions. And, you know, my ego is always wanting to get some sort of unique and different. And in some ways I am, you know, but in a lot of ways I'm not. And it's embracing where I am. Unique and different. There aren't a lot of other section that I like in the program. That's okay. You know, I don't, I'm learning to live with that because I have that too, and that's a major sticking point for me and my eating issues. And, you know, that a higher power works for all out for good. That's kind of bottom line.
Thank you, everybody, for being here, and maybe you can circle up, and I'll put my name in here.
Put my hand in here, and together we can be what we can have to be alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for the power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.